Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, did you see that ludicrous display last night?
I didn't, Jim, but Trey Anastasia wasn't that bad.
So, Patrick, all this week you've been delighting us with your experiences at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival
That's
in Louisville,
right.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I noticed one thing you overlooked.
What was that?
You did not, as far as I can tell, bring any bourbon back.
No, I did not.
Looking around.
I screwed up on
and
that.
And I'm not seeing any here.
Well,
did you drink it all?
It's maybe that I didn't bring any back, but maybe that there's none here.
Okay.
That's possible.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
It didn't last all that long. But wow, there was a lot of bourbon there.
Is that right?
Yeah, there was a lot. Free samples were easy to come by.
That was my next question. Did they offer free samples?
Yes, many of them did, especially some of the brands that were trying to catch your attention and you know, were outside of the establishment. That was kind of cool.
So they have little like tents or booths or that kind of thing?
Yeah, but mainly there was this place called the Big Bourbon Bar where you went in there, and that's where all the sort of smaller brands had a little setup so you could go to each one. It was a giant tent.
So the free samples are probably like in one of those little plastic cups, you know, like kind of like you would
small.
Take medicine out of, right?
Half a finger, essentially, is what you get.
But if you string enough of those together.
Yeah, man.
You just go down the line, right?
How many samples have you had? 72.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah,
it happens.
That's a good evening.
Yeah, it was fun. And I'll tell you this, they also had a giant tent where you could dance. So it was back from the other corner of the festival. You could go there and they actually had like a swing lesson at one point and like a, you know, a different, you know, lesson, and then they played that kind of music, and then at the end of the night, well, not at the end, but like 8, it was open dancing, and they just played, they had a live band playing, and you could do all kinds of like sort of formal dancing. It was kind of cool.
I see. It wasn't like a rage or anything.
No, not at all.
A rave is what I meant to say.
It wasn't a rave.
Or a rage.
Yeah, it was mostly like, you know, traditional like sort of swing band and string band music. It was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. They had like a dance floor kind of set up.
Hardwood. Somebody was clogging at one point,
I think. A barn dance?
That's right. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here? Okay, it's Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah.
I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You were at the Bourbon Beyond Festival.
That pretty much sums it up, that last spiel.
First thing we should say in this episode, you're going to interview somebody who won our contest, giveaway,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, exactly. Again, thanks to the Bourbon and Beyond people for providing us with what turned out to be a whole weekend's passes, 2 passes to the whole festival. Scott Boykin. One of our nice listeners,
from
Evansville, Indiana. I met him and his lovely wife and his son as well. He brought his son one day and his wife another day. So it was really good. It worked out great for Scott. And you're going to hear his assessment of Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, all right.
It's very cool.
So should we get to this all right now?
Yeah. Patrick here, guys, checking in. It's Sunday morning, coming down here in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm just here at the hotel doing a little bit of a recap. Had a fun day yesterday, for sure. Saw the Coops. Scott Boykin was there, met him and his lovely wife, and had a nice chat. He'll be coming on the pod later today to sort of talk about his impressions of yesterday and what he saw today and other things and what we're looking forward to. But I'll tell you, it's been a fun festival. It's very hot here in Louisville. It was scorching out there on the white gravel sands of the fairgrounds while we watched the show. We did see Jenny Lewis yesterday. We saw Squeeze, which was really, really fun, man. They just ripped through a great set, basically, of all their hits. And that was great. It was like watching the singles 45s and under album being played with a lot of speed and ferocity, and Dave Grohl jumped up on the drum kit at one point. So he's been kind of prowling around Louisville this weekend, and then we saw an amazing closing set by Robert Plant and the Shapeshifters, which we'll talk about more with Scott. But just wanted to check in and catch a little Premier League action right now as I sort of plan out the rest of my day. Got a couple interviews scheduled. Did some great interviews yesterday. I think y'all are going to enjoy. And right now, West Ham United is up against Manchester United 1-0 at the London Stadium in the 74th minute. I can also report that Crystal Palace 1-0 Wolves in the 73rd minute as well. Keep an eye on those games for you. We also got to keep our eye on the NFL slate a little bit later today, but mostly it's going to be festival work. Full slate of music, some bluegrass today. I want to catch a little bluegrass on the bluegrass stage. So I wanted to check in with y'all and give you an update. And there it is, Patrick signing off. Sunday morning, coming down. Hey guys, Patrick here. Just checking in really quick. It's still Sunday morning, still getting ready to roll. But what I noticed here is that I got a new SD card. I wanted to back up all the files from yesterday, and I didn't really have a way to do it on a computer because I don't have an SD slot with my traveling gig. So I just wanted to say testing to see if this SD is good. I want to give you a little update on the games from this morning in the English Premier League. Man City was not playing because they won 8-0 yesterday. But Man United was in action. Marcus Rashford goes out with an injury. And West Ham takes the victory there at the London Stadium. Fantastic free kick by Aaron Cresswell in the second half. Got the second for the Hammers.
Hey now, little man. You can stand there and slag me off all you like, but don't you start talking about how I feel about my beloved West Ham. Because I love them.
Also, I can update you. Wolves with a late equalizer at Crystal Palace is going to make that 1-1 draw. So coming up here is going to be Chelsea-Liverpool. And we'll be rolling out to the festival here shortly. So anyway, checking in. We're going to test this to make sure it works. I will talk to you guys.
All right, folks, Patrick here. Checking in from Bourbon and Beyond on day 3. I'm here with Scott Boykin. Scott, how are you, man?
Doing well, Patrick.
Great. Thank you so much for jumping on mic. We have a lot to talk about. Let's start with the big topic of the festival so far. Robert Plant set last night, closing day 2. Give me some impressions right off the bat.
Oh, Robert Plant was incredible. The way that his band has reimagined the Led Zeppelin songs in particular was just something else. They did a version of Black Dog that I dare say I may enjoy more live last night than the recorded version.
So incredible.
With those driving acoustic guitars and those drums, it was incredible. He by far had the most interesting set of the day, I thought.
The name of his band, the Sensational Shapeshifters, is really appropriate. They played in all kinds of styles.
It couldn't be more apt. I mean, those guys amazing. Were incredible. Yeah. I mean, they almost seem like the best musicians he's played with, and that's saying a lot.
It is. When you're not like the whole set going like, man, I miss Jimmy Page or something like that, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there was no missing Jimmy Page or right. John Paul Jones last night.
And at one point, one of the guitarists seemed like he was playing a piece of wood. Did you notice that?
There was all kinds of instruments going on last night. It was incredible.
And Robert looked fantastic. His voice was great. And I tell you, what really blew my mind the most was I've spent, I don't know how many years it's been since I got Led Zeppelin 4, and I've spent all this time saying Four Sticks. It's like the worst freaking song ever made. And last night they played Four Sticks.
You got that. You got the Battle of Evermore. It was incredible.
That was the song, weirdly enough, I left the festival humming was Four Sticks. You know, it was so weird. It was really weird. Oh, man. It really was great. And then just as much Zeppelin as he played in there was really, really excellent and looked and sounded good. I guess the only very, very slight disappointment is we'd kind of gotten ourselves geeked up on the rumor that Dave Grohl might come up on stage and play with him, but I can't see that working with that band because they're so tightly integrated, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine Dave Grohl stepping in and being able to play in the style that Robert Plant's
exactly.
band played in.
Yeah.
You know, besides Dave Grohl, I was hoping that maybe Alison Krauss might pop up on stage
last night.
Yeah,
that would have been the other thing.
But like I said, what he's doing now is so different than anything that Dave Grohl or even Alison Krauss
right.
would have probably been comfortable with.
Yeah, and I think that's really it. And it's a tribute to Robert Plant that he continues to move forward at his age and after all these years and years of being in the business. So it was just really exceeded all my expectations. It was really awesome.
Yeah, an incredible show.
Talk about what else. Well, so I missed Hall & Oates. What, give us a quick report on that.
I mean, Hall & Oates was, you know, like a 70s and 80s jukebox come to life, you know.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it was just, you know, hit after hit. So, you know, they pleased the crowd for sure.
Okay.
You know, if you're a Hall & Oates fan, you weren't disappointed, and you'll love this, Patrick. They had a backdrop of abandoned luncheonette on the stage at one time.
That's fantastic.
So I know you could have appreciated that.
I totally would have appreciated that. That would have been so great. That would have been so great. I saw the a couple of photos, and they looked fantastic. So that's great. I mean, that they looked and sounded great.
Yeah, I mean,
great.
They looked, sounded good. I mean, Daryl Hall is using the same band that he uses on his Live at Daryl House show. So,
okay.
I mean, those guys are tight. They, they
really
know the
was
material.
Impressed.
You know, they...
Yeah. Okay, so what happened right before that? Was there another band that I think I might have missed? Let's see. I left right as Grace Potter was...
Wrapping up.
I saw about two or three of her songs, and then I had to leave, but... Was there somebody else between that?
Allison Krauss.
Allison Krauss, right.
Played shortly after Grace Potter. She's just so effortless. I mean, you know, it's like nothing for her to go out there and give a great show.
Right.
And her band is so tight as well. They were so good.
I know what it was because I was blocking it out. No offense to any Fish fans out there. How was the Trey Anastasio set? We got to be honest. That wasn't one neither of us were like really looking forward
I'll
to.
Be
Might
honest,
have been a time to get some food or something.
I'll be honest. I was eating during Trey Anastasio.
Okay.
Caught the last 15 minutes of his set. I don't think I heard one lyric in the whole 15 minutes. So that tells you where Trey was at.
That kind of tells you where you're coming from. Yeah. That's all we really need to know. So earlier in the day, we saw Squeeze.
Squeeze was awesome.
Wasn't that great? It was so awesome, folks. They just came out and played like the singles 45s and under album.
That's exactly what it was.
In a different order. It was great. With a lot of drive and I wouldn't say ferocity, but they definitely had an edge to it.
Really it was definitely a beefed up sound. I mean, they were hitting it hard, and it's tremendous.
And one thing I was really interested in, too, was the way... They kind of integrated the keyboards into that band. It, you know, the original Squeeze with Jules Holland was very keyboard heavy on some songs.
Absolutely.
And they toned that down a little bit, but I still like that they sort of did it in the right places.
Yep, the keys were still present, and we even had a keytar sighting on stage yesterday.
That was incredible, too. Yes, keytar. And probably most important of all, Scott, one of the... members of Squeeze was wearing a Kiss t-shirt with the solo albums on it under a blazer. So that was pretty important.
As well as a member of the Kiss Army. We can appreciate this. So we're veterans. War tested.
That's right. Well, you know, Scott, it was fun getting to know you a little bit yesterday. It's the first time we met in person. But talk a little bit about your record store background as well. You spent quite a few years in the industry,
right?
I spent
nearly two decades in the record industry, working both in the corporate and store level.
Right.
So, you know, it was a labor of love for sure. But I'm a music guy. I'm a physical, you know, copy guy. So kind of once iTunes came around and, you know, the whole industry changed basically overnight.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of when I got out of it. But up until that point, working, you know, through the 90s and into the early 2000s, I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store and, you know, blowing my paychecks on music. And
we were talking about the employee discount yesterday for quite a while.
Nothing's better than the employee discount.
And you started out at Record Bar, right? Is that what you
said? I started out at Record Bar, and from there I went and worked for a disc jockey music stores, working in both their corporate and store level, and did that up until the middle of the 2000s.
Okay, cool. Well, you're our kind of people, Scott, so we're real happy that you were able to get out here and enjoy some of the festival. So we're really, really happy with the way this whole thing worked out. And the Bourbon and Beyond people have been super nice. I was going to say, since no one will hear this till after the festival's over, last night, Sheila and I were in the media area. My wife came to see the Robert Plant set because she's here in Louisville for her business and just loved it. And at one point, we tried to sort of wander over to where the artist buses were parked to see where we could get. And they told us we can't go there with that, you know, with this pass you have. So sorry. But if you want to go down here, there's another you know, a little lounge area you can go to. So we walked where the guy pointed us, and we walked into essentially an open bar. We didn't see anyone. We saw people getting beverages, but we didn't see any money exchanged hands. So my eyes lit up pretty wide at that point. So
I'm disappointed I didn't get a text about that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was right after Robert Plant finished. So, and we probably should have headed straight to the rideshare gate as we were talking about. It was quite a chore getting out of here because how big do you think this crowd is, Scott? I mean, it's got to be way up there.
It's tens of thousands of people.
It's got to be, right?
I mean, it's an incredible amount of people. It's a huge fairground.
It really is.
I'll say this about the Bourbon and Beyond Fest. The way they have the stages divided is fans play us like clockwork. I mean, there's no more than a 5-minute delay
it's
from
really
one
awesome.
Band to the next. So it's been incredible the way they've had it designed.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point because when Sheila and I got out of our ride yesterday to come up here, we saw Hall & Oates' images. You know, I must have been on their very last song, and she was like, well, we got a lot of time because they haven't even finished. And I said, no, we
got
to get
5 up
minutes.
There.
Yeah, we basically had, and we luckily hit it right on the right thing. So that was really good. So let's talk about our last day in Louisville. What do you got on your mind today? What do you? Oh, you saw Edie Brickell just now.
Edie
so tell
Brickell
me about
earlier.
That.
Yeah, Edie Brickell was great. I mean, she sounds like she did 1988. Probably the most surprising thing about the Edie Brickell set is when she picked up the guitar and ripped off a lead that sounded like something Santana inspired.
Really? No, I would not have expected that.
I would have never expected that. It was the only time during her whole set that she played.
Oh, wow.
But the lead was just incredible.
That is so really wild.
It was pretty cool.
That is great. And I did hear What I Am as I was coming in.
Yep.
So that's probably her best known song, I would say.
I would say, yeah. And of course, the crowd, you know, went wild.
Right.
Had a great time with that.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I know the Coops got here a little earlier and caught the White Reaper set. I was doing an interview for you guys over at a hotel earlier, so I wasn't able to get over to see White Reaper. I can report that I did make it to Guest Room Records in Louisville, so that's important. Our poster is still there, so thank you, Guest Room. And they were happy to take a little of my money, as they always are. All right, so what else do we have on the docket for the rest of Sunday?
Yeah, what I'm looking forward to seeing today is Kurt Viles coming up later today. So really looking forward to that, as
Same
well as
here.
Leon Bridges,
yep.
Margo Price, and, of course, ZZ Top.
ZZ Top.
You know, closing it out tonight, which will be a lot of fun.
It's going to be big, yep. And Zach Brown has the big headlining slot tonight, and sounds like that's going to be a pretty good segue from ZZ Top, you know, that kind of heavy sort of blues rock stuff. So that makes sense to close the festival out. So all these intrepid travelers who are going to stick it all the way through to Zach Brown, we give him a lot of credit.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Well, as you guys can probably hear, we're in a really unique place. You're really getting the sound of Bourbon and Beyond because we can hear a little bit of the main stage to our left. We've got the bluegrass stage coming through on our right, and We're
surrounded
behind
by Jack Daniel's bar.
Yeah. The people here at the Jack Daniel's tent were nice enough to let us use part of their bar area to record right now. So that was nice of them. Thank you, guys. And looks like they got the NFL on over there in the in this
you
other
get
area.
Everything here.
It's amazing. Why go anywhere else? Why do we have to go home? I'm going to prowl around a little bit, folks, and try to get some local color and flavor from some of the attendees here. It'd be kind of neat to do that. So, Scott, thank you very much. In closing, anything else to add?
I just want to thank you and Jim and Rockin' the Suburbs for making this possible and having me here this weekend. It's been a treat, and I can't thank you guys enough.
Well, you're so welcome, and we're really glad that that you came up the winner and from these tickets. It was really great. But anyway, thank you, Scott, very much. Scott's here with his son today for the final day, so I hope you guys really have a good time. And I'll be hanging around with Scott and the Coops here for the next hours as we go through the rest of the day and looking forward to the rest of it. So thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right.
Hey guys, Patrick checking in here. It is about 3:45 on Sunday. The festival's rolling along. You can hear Kurt Vile in the background right now playing his set over on the main stage. We've got some good stuff coming up this afternoon, but I want to let you guys know that there's a van here with blankets and pillows in it. There's also some sort of soapbox derby racer. There's a couple of cabana chairs and a fake palm tree with people are sitting around. There's an Airstream trailer. And there's a nice fresh cold water for the media, as well as some free junk that I might take advantage of right now. I'll check back and let you know what I got. Got a free hat.
All right, folks, Patrick here, reporting in from day three of Bourbon and Beyond. I'm with Billy
McNeil.
Okay, yeah. And you're friends with the Coop, so everybody yes. knows the Coop. So,
of course.
Before we go any farther, Billy, I know you've been here and are a huge music fan, but tell us how you know the Coop.
Okay, it goes back a long time ago. Coops and I, the first Coop, Nicole, the second Coop, I guess you would say, the first wife of Adam, is we worked together in a record store 20 years ago.
That's right. Yes. Now it's coming back to me. She told me this last night. Yeah. All right.
And then Adam worked across the street at a music instrument store called Willis Music. So,
right.
We became friends then, and it's been 20 some odd years, 22, 23
That's
years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you guys have stayed in touch.
Yeah, just stayed in touch.
And are you still working in the record store industry at
Absolutely
this point?
Absolutely not. I moved away from retail shortly after the days of Kim, after Camelot. And then when I saw the Amazon on the horizon. No, I didn't see that. If I did, I would be a millionaire,
right.
Of course. I started working in hotels, so I still get to dabble in the music industry every now and then, especially when big events like this come
right.
up.
Right. Okay, great. And it's possible you've seen some celebrities from this festival come and go.
Yeah.
I don't want to name any names or any hotels or anything like that, but you've seen your share of people staying around.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've worked with a lot of the main artists for this festival this week. Two of the last headliners, so if that's a hint.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, it's been great. Like, it's a lot of fun to do those type of events and have them in your hotel and the aura and the excitement around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. So working in that industry, before we jump into music head first, when do you find, I know people come here now for bourbon,
yeah.
but there is a very thriving music scene. Do a lot of people, do you find a lot of, at your places, like people coming for festivals and things like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started off with Forecastle and just recently the Bourbon and Beyond and the Tri-Festa or Festival, Hometown Rising, and then this weekend and then next weekend, which is Louder Than Life. But those two have been around for a while. But last year we had a big kerplunk citywide. Literally a plunk with all the rain and the flooding that happened.
Yeah.
So
that was the first thing out of Robert Plant's mouth last night, right?
He was absolutely.
Like, I'm sorry about last year, but I'm glad I'm back now.
And reminiscent to that, last year he was in my lobby just twiddling his thumbs for 3 days.
Wow.
Going,
because he didn't know what was
going
to happen.
Are we going to play or what's going on? So that was kind of a cool experience, but saddening because we were going to see him last year and everybody would have experienced it. The venue changed this year, kind of left them a void of ever having to deal with the water again.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of caused a little bit of a hoopla. It's a mile to walk and park, and it's a little bit difficult of a venue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I certainly learned that last night while waiting about 90 minutes to get an Uber out of here. I mean,
absolutely.
There was a huge crowd
and
waiting.
There's a surge rate. So, it's
people just started
cheap.
Waving cash at one point. Like, I got $50. Will you
Let's
take
go.
Me?
Get me out of here.
And people were like, yeah, get in.
Good night to be an Uber driver. Bad night to be a patron of the Bourbon and Beyond
exactly
Festival.
Right. Yeah. So, Billy, tell me, have you been here since Friday?
Yeah, Friday night. I've been here all nights, but I had to work a little bit before I came in. So I missed a little bit of the early stuff, but I got all the headliners in. And some of the good afternoon stuff.
Talk to me about some of the stuff you've loved so far. I mean, I missed Friday, so I missed Fogarty. And he was the one guy on Friday of the main sort of acts that I had never seen. But what was your Friday experience like?
Friday started a little bit later than the afternoon, but the biggest highlight, you're right, is Fogarty. Fogarty did everything you would want to hear from him.
Right.
But he also did these little cliches where he's talking about Woodstock and he's telling a story. And at first I was like, come on, man, just play your music. But, you know, 5 minutes into the story, I'm like, I'm going to listen to this dude's wisdom for a hot minute.
Right.
Because it's an experience that none of us in the crowd, maybe a small few of us, had experienced in their life. And he's just there to tell you a story about what it was like to go up on play in Woodstock. And he's at a festival again. And he's just sharing that experience.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then I had my two boys with me.
Beautiful that they saw Fogarty, man. That's
so
cool.
They saw Fogarty in real life and a 6 and a 4 year old, Bowie and Quinn. And I brought them to have that experience. It's really tough at this venue to bring kids. But
yeah,
we triumph through and seeing the Foo Fighters with them. And, you know, they fell apart about halfway through the set, and I'm like, come on, guys, just a little bit more, man. This is true, true rock and roll. Let's do it. But my oldest son, he's six.
Oh, boy.
Just rocking it away.
Yeah.
This is a bandana. I'm sorry for listeners, but my bandana says Foo Fighters. That's
right.
The one I got
for him. It's a
cool
bandana, folks. Yeah. I can, man, for them to stick it out that late, that's pretty awesome.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that's great.
They
got
to bed a decent hour. But Saturday night, you couldn't ask for more. I mean, mind-blowing. Hall & Oates, I could have expected more from. I think your listeners probably have heard that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. What were your basic impressions about that? Because earlier in the day, Squeeze, you know, an act in the same time period, played a fantastic set, very taut and blew through
it. And was so perfect. We got here just in time for that. I think we may have missed the first song or two. But finishing it out, pristine. And I was really optimistic about Hall & Oates. Personally, not the biggest Hall & Oates fan, but ultimately, I thought, they're going to deliver. I just know they are. And I was let down to an extent that I wouldn't wish on anybody, especially a Hall & Oates fan.
Right, right. That, I think, is probably pretty disappointing, folks, that, you know, that was their big draw for the whole day. So,
exactly.
That's a bummer.
Oh, but Plant killed it. And then, you know, my mind just escaped me. Who was before Hall & Oates last night?
Might have been Trey Anastasia.
Yes. My wife is a huge Fish fan. Yes, humongous.
Finally, we found a Fish fan. Because everyone else we've talked to has not. So they're like, what is Trey Anastasia doing on this bill?
She was a humongous Fish fan. Or she is.
Yeah.
She used to travel with the band, and she's a big Fish head, and so on and so forth. But ultimately, I'm really not. I do like the jam band sometimes. On a studio level, I will listen to it and enjoy the 7-minute version of that.
Our listeners are nodding in agreement now.
Okay, perfect. But if you're going to throw that song out for 27 minutes at a normal Fish show, I'm sorry. I'm going to lose interest, even though it's perfect and it's pristine, and I just don't dig it. And your listeners obviously do too.
Right.
So ultimately, Trey did an amazing show. I think he subjected himself to saying, hey, you're not at a jam band fest. I got a horn section. I got some nice back vocals. Let's keep these songs perfect and short. He was happy the whole time, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Last time I saw Trey was probably 8 years ago at Terminal 5 in New York City, and he didn't really do that. He didn't have to. He didn't have to placate himself. But last night he did a really good job of giving that jam band essence.
Well, that, you know, I think that does say a lot that you're able to understand what it is you're playing for, and you have an hour, and like you've got to work, make it work in that time.
You
frame.
Have to,
yeah.
Absolutely,
right.
And he did a really good job, and he's very humble about it. Like he didn't like try to go up there and showboat or anything. He was very humble, and I thought he did a great job.
Didn't jump on trampolines. The one time I saw Fish, they jumped on trampolines. Man, it was
there's no
awesome.
Hot dog coming through the stage or Madison Square Garden.
All right, great. So what about today? What time did you guys roll up?
We came in, we missed White Reaper, which is devastating.
Same here.
Yeah.
I was doing an interview and missed White Reaper. So.
Well, just I wanted to get here, but business calls and work calls.
Right,
but,
sure.
We got here in time for Edie.
Edie Brickell, yeah.
Edie Brickell. Yep. And we came in right with the song that everybody knows. Oh, this is a good walk-in song.
Right, perfect.
Get the day started. And then...
Okay, Whiskey Myers.
Never heard of them in my life. Watching them on stage, they had such a copacetic cohesiveness to them. And that lead guitarist, man, he was killer.
Really good.
And they were cool, and you can just tell it. Yeah. It together.
And that's the kind of band that works at a festival like this, where you know what I mean?
It fits in the whole gamut of everybody's here. Plus, one other thought was this, they played at the perfect time, and they were enthusiastic. No one really had heard of them, and I saw a couple of people in the crowd that were videotaping and listening and singing along, but man, impressionable is what I would say.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. I mean, also, to get that slot at this festival, given the headliners, that they must really have something going on.
They have a following somewhere.
Yeah,
yes.
I definitely should have paid more attention to that. I'm supposed to be on top of those things. So what else today have you seen that's been good?
Margo Price.
Margo Price was wonderful. She really was.
My gosh. Just a voice. Like, we saw Alison Krauss yesterday. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, that's right.
But just the voice of an angel. You feel like it's God speaking to you when she's singing.
Yeah.
It's just a special experience. And then Margo is right there on that, and she covered a Janis Joplin song.
That was amazing.
And it was just, she just nails it, and she has the enthusiasm.
She's amazing. Like, I love the fact that she'll take on, like, the standards, like Son of a Preacher Man in those songs, and, like, kill them. Like,
yeah,
most people are like, I'm not going to touch that.
No, why would
right?
you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, everyone else has done it. I think that's so good. I love her.
She just was really good about it.
I'd seen her play previously a few years back, but that was... You know, what we saw today was fast and raucous, and it was really, really
good. And
she
only gave us probably 35 minutes,
45
minutes. Yeah, but it was all very on point, and it's very great.
That's really good. Let me ask you this while I'm thinking of it. Did you see Grace Potter yesterday?
I didn't have an opportunity.
Yeah, I missed that as well. So what about the venue, Billy? I mean, you know, being a Louisville guy... Big, man. How many people would you estimate are here? Like, I have no clue.
I was talking to my wife about this about last night. It was Robert Plant was very compressed. It took us 20 minutes to walk out away from the crowd just to get some air. I felt like I was already on I-65 before that even happened. The venue's not the best. And I think, you know, the production company, Danny Wimmer and company, I think they realize that. But they have to save themselves from the monstrosity, the disaster that they had last year. Back to what you said earlier, Robert Plant opened up his show with, man, and thank God he came back.
Yes.
Like, he could have just been like, yeah, that's a waste of my time or whatever it was. But the venue is very tough. It's very stringent. It's very aggressive as far as the terrain. There's one tree that we can see from here. I'm sorry for your listeners, but there's 50 people behind it.
Yeah.
And they're crammed in just because that's the only
solace from
the sun.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of people, folks, wearing bandanas over their mouths because there's dust and dirt blowing around. I mean, and the white gravel, it's really hot out there.
it's not indicative, really, of Louisville during this time. But, I mean, last year was a wet season. This year, it's dry. So we got rain for 2 seconds on Friday morning, I think it was. And I'm like, we haven't seen rain in 60 days.
What global warming?
No kidding.
Also, describe for the listeners, the whole sort of back half of this area is amazing, man.
It really is. Everything's a lot of the back. A lot of the vendors, a lot of the merchandise, well, you don't see it typically. Well, I haven't seen typically. Maybe a few, but they have a really good merchandise section. The merchandise for the show is... probably the biggest line I've
ever
seen.
It's huge. It's a massive tent. Yeah. It's probably got like 15 people working, 15 lines or something. It's really amazing.
The bathroom's not the best spot. You have two bathrooms in way back of the field.
That's a great point.
And then you have two smaller ones in the front. Unless you're in VIP, you're not going to have a comfortable time, and you better give yourself some time to go to the pot.
That's right.
And then food is kind of centrally located, kind of in the middle. And then for it being Bourbon and Beyond, two giant Jack Daniels tents.
Well, there is that, yeah.
Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah, that's what you see when you turn your head back.
Yeah.
You see the Jack Daniels.
And then there's
a
big trailer in the very far back that has LCD or the plasma screens, and it's all
right.
It's really nice
trailer. Yeah, people are back there watching the NFL this afternoon.
Yeah. I'm just like, all right, Jack Daniels should be showing everybody up in Kentucky. Please, come on, Kentucky bourbon, let's go.
Seriously, man.
That's
a great point. It really is. Yeah. So what are you looking forward to as far as the rest of the day goes? I mean, we got Edward Sharp is playing behind us. You may be able to hear a little bit of him.
Yeah, and he's crazy and fun, and I think he's done at least one cover.
Yeah, he played the John Lennon song, We All Shine On.
But nonetheless, he's very fun. He's very interesting to watch. But you know what? I think we're going to have a really good time with Leon Bridges after this. And then ZZ Top is probably going to take the day.
Yeah, I would think so.
Not the biggest Zac Brown fan. A lot of people are here to see him, but that is a niche group, and I'm really not in that niche. If it was Jimmy Buffett, I would probably pay my respects to the Buffett man, the parrot head. But Zac Brown, I'm sorry. I'm just going to call you a little bit of a wannabe, and it's fine.
I mean,
do your thing, man.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. And I no offense to him at all, because obviously, as you said, there is that certain sect of fans. But I do think there's a lot of people that are going to be hitting it after ZZ Top. It's a Sunday night.
Yep.
It's got to work tomorrow. Got a week ahead. Let me get out of there. Right, exactly.
But ZZ Top is going to be, I think it's going to be tremendous. I think it's going to blow us away. I think it's going to give us what Hall & Oates didn't give us yesterday. And they're just, I mean, you're going to walk away and say, I'm really glad I got to see that tonight.
So tell me a little bit, going back to your own personal story, where your music taste is now. You obviously are one of us, like myself, worked at a record store, got your start there and kind of got the bug. But what are you into these days? And do you do a lot of local stuff, or what's your listening?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mix of everything. I obviously worked in a music store, so you get the facets of life that are all crazy. And when you work there, you get the pop culture and rap culture and everything. So it's all poured on you, and you become a fan of those things.
I know. That's one of the best things about it. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, I liked in the late 2000s, and it was like, oh, you know what? Nelly's not too bad. Or, you know, NSYNC, I got a couple of good ones. Would I listen to it on a regular basis? No, but we were forced to all the time.
Right, right.
So your palate is a little bit more infused, like a chef would be in the culinary arts.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
Ultimately, it's definitely changed. I was a big punk rocker when I was younger. Not punk rocker, Mohawk, but I liked the punk scene.
Same here, yep.
Because it's cheap and fun and quick songs and toilet humor and whatever teenagers like. Getting older, man, I really like the bluegrass infused alt country. Like Avett Brothers, I've been following them for years. I turned my wife onto them. She's just infatuated with them. Every song is a story that just digs deep into your heart.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you guys, and I'll try to get a photo, or maybe Billy, you have one, but your wife made Avett Brothers sunglasses. Like handmade. They're so cool. So
they say I and love in you.
It's amazing. One of their tunes, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah, she has a couple of different ones. And
oh, well, that's awesome.
But you know, that's one of them. And you know, like seeing Robert Plant, this is a staple. You know, my dad listened to them growing up in the house. We weren't a Beatles household. We were a Stones household or a Zeppelin. And even to this day, sometimes, I do love the Beatles. It would be blasphemous, especially on this podcast, to say anything against them. But, you know, when you're brought up that way, it's about really gritty rock and roll.
That's right. Yeah.
So when you grow up, you have those particular taste in your palate.
Yeah.
So really gritty. I love J. Roddy Watson in the business.
Oh, sweet.
And I love White Reaper. It's a good Louisville band.
Yeah, exactly. Great
just
band.
Right there with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those type of.
All right, cool. That's very, very cool. It sounds like you're definitely one of us. So I want to thank you very much for taking a minute out to share your time.
A pleasure.
Our listeners are really going to enjoy this, so I can't wait to kind of get it out there for them.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, man.
Jesus done left Chicago.
Hey, how's it going? This is me once again checking in. It's been a long Sunday at the festival. I'm heading back to the hotel. I'm real excited. I got to rally a little bit. I need a shower. Maybe one more shot of bourbon. And I'm going to hang out with my buddy David Stride, who I haven't seen in probably 30-plus years, that is. And really looking forward to that. So I'll catch you guys up on that tomorrow. Right now, I'm in the back of a ride here, and
appreciate my driver letting me check in and record. So thanks. And this is going to wrap up our broadcast day. We'll get back to you guys tomorrow morning on the way home, unless I receive some sort of boost of inspiration and want to talk late night. But let's hope that isn't the case. Talk to you guys tomorrow, bright and probably too early.
Traffic in the city turned my head around. No, 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 no. Back up on the freeway. Back up in the truck. Everywhere you look, there's a frown, frown. Come, come, motion. Get, get gone. Come, come, motion. Get, get gone.
Amazing, man.